still on that plateau, that high point in the service of the word. Now we come to the second part of it, the sermon, where God's word is proclaimed and applied to his people. And just like God's word is always, just as is true always of God's word, I should say, it does what it says. It doesn't simply describe blessings, it conveys them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel, which you heard read a moment ago, repeating these words. They have no wine. Let us pray. These are your words, O God. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I would have loved to have been running a tape recorder on Mary when she said those words to Jesus. They have no wine. And maybe even better to have a photograph. She says, they have no wine. It's not even a question or a request. It's a simple statement of fact. And yet there's more to it than that. I'm guessing, and this is why I'd like to have a photo, I am guessing that there was a gleam in Mary's eye when she said that. A gleam of expectation. Because she knew that Jesus could do something about that. And quite possibly would do something about that. I'm guessing that gleam was there, and it was still there even when Jesus put her off and said, my hour has not yet come. And she turns to those servants and says, will you do whatever he tells you to do? The gleam, I'm thinking, was there. Now, did she expect everything that Jesus was about to do? Well, who knows? But again, I suspect there was a gleam of expectation. What about us? What were you expecting when you got in the car and drove to church today? Or when you come to church anytime? What do you find when you get to church? Well, it's this kind of bewildering labyrinth of all sorts of things. We sit, we stand, we sing, we pray, we listen, we read. All kinds of things going on. And part of the reason for narrating the service today is to kind of pick up and examine each one of these pieces, parts, and see what it's all about. But that still raises the question, what does it all add up to? Where is it all going? What is the big thing that you are expecting? What's the big thing that might put a gleam in your eye coming to church? Our problem as Christians is usually not that we expect too much from God. Maybe that's how we think of it, just kind of on the top, on the surface. But truly, our problem is that we expect far too little from God. Because by the time we get to the point of expecting something, it has been filtered through all of our ideas about what is desirable, about what is even possible, to the point where God is offering us so much and it gets really, really whittled down. So we expect really no more from him than we expect from other people, or perhaps less. Luther once said, it's a shame to say it, but I expect less from God than I expect from my colleagues. And even my students. We kind of grasp, as it were, at the little coins in God's hand when God extends his hand to us. And we tend to miss the fact that God is extending his hand to us. His hand of help and comfort, of friendship and fellowship. That's big. That's huge. Luther said on another occasion, you can't comfort a Christian with wealth or fame or notoriety Because Christians know how fleeting all those things are. Christians know how great our need is before God, and how God himself in Christ has done things so much differently. Different. And we use that word in a couple of different ways. We could talk about different as meaning more, or as meaning better. In the text, Jesus comes up with better in both of those ways. He makes more, and he makes the most of more. He made more. He made more wine. They had run out at this wedding feast. And so Jesus tells these servants to take those stone jars, which were there for purification rites, fill them up to the brim, each jar, six of them now, each jar held between 18 and 27 gallons of fluid. And so they've all got this water in them up to the brim. Now Jesus is turning it into wine. He is making, in round figures, about 120 to 160 gallons of wine for a wedding feast that is winding down. He made more. This was a great quantity of wine. Did Mary expect that when she came to him at first? Well, I don't know. But he sure made more. And he made the most of more. This was not only a great quantity of wine, this was a superior quality of wine. When the master of the feast gets a chance to taste this new wine, which had been water just minutes before, he is impressed. He calls the bridegroom over and he says, "You have saved the best for last." Great quantity and great quality. Jesus made more. And Jesus made the most of more. And his disciples, it says, believed in him. They caught it. All through the Old Testament, beginning back in the book of Genesis, the Messianic age was pictured as the time of great quantity and superior quality. Already in Genesis 49, the Shiloh prophecy, Shiloh, the Messiah, is said to tie his colt, his donkey, to a vine, to his choice vine. Now everybody knew that you don't tie your donkey to a vine unless you are prepared for him to chomp away and eat all the grapes on that vine while he's tied there. So you didn't tie your donkey to a vine unless you had plenty more grapes where that came from. And you didn't tie your donkey to the choice vine unless you had lots more choice grapes where that came from. Quantity and quality, and the disciples get it. That's what we have here. The Messianic age has dawned. The Messiah is here. They believed. That's the kind of thing that put a gleam in Mary's eye. And I'm thinking that gleam remained there. Even a couple, 3 years later, when she, with that same eye, beheld her son, now with his hour fully come, hanging on that cross, dying for the sins of the world. He's still making the most. As he breathes his last, he says, "It is finished. It's all been done. The sins of the world have been entirely paid for." And I'm thinking that gleam in Mary's eye was fairly dancing in her eyes 3 days later when she, with her eyes, got to see him alive and well, raised from the dead, victor over all of his enemies, and now clearly Lord of all. And that's not even the end of it. Because he says, "Because I live, you live also." It would have been great to have had a camera on Mary back in this incident in John 2. But it would be really interesting to have a camera to take her picture when she is raised from the dead at the last day, and with all believers in Christ, she is ushered into his presence, body and soul, for all eternity. And it won't just be that gleam of expectation for Mary and her eye. It'll be for every one of us, for all who have faith in Christ. See, Jesus makes the most of more. He has done it, and he will keep on doing it, and he's doing it right now. He's doing it where his word is in use, which means he's doing it in church. We come in here battered around from pillar to post by all the difficulties and disappointments in our world, in our lives, and we are re-identified right at this top once again with those words that were invoked over us in our baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have that word of absolution by which our sins, which were once as scarlet, are now as white as snow. We call upon God for his mercy. Not only that he gives us what we don't deserve, but he doesn't give us what we do deserve in our sin. We echo the song of the angels. There is now glory for God in the highest places because there is peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all because of what Christ has done. We hear the reading of his living and life-giving word, and we are able to respond to that with the confession of our faith. And we have all that applied to us and really rubbed in good. Now you may say, well, I've had all that before. And it's true. You have. But think about this. When you come to church, Jesus is serving you. He served at this wedding feast at Cana, making the wine when they had run out. He serves you and me even more so, because he's not just making wine that we're going to drink for the moment and then have done with. He's giving us blessings that will last into all eternity. Now, we've had it before, but he's giving us all over. He's giving it to us some more. And Jesus makes the most of more for you, through you, in you. And that'll put a gleam in your eye. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will set guard round about your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.